Well, as you all know, this is the 100th anniversary of the American Society of Agronomy. So as the A2 board representative to ASA, we had a discussion in one of the board meetings about perhaps doing a history of each of the divisions. So this inaugural thing for our meeting for ASA deals with the history of the division within the society, some issues and so on. Again, my name is Bob Lacey. I'm with the U.S. Army at the Army's Construction Engineering Research Laboratory with the Engineer Research and Development Center in Champaign, Illinois. My co-authors are Dr. Harold Ballback, a longtime member of the Society, and Antonio Palazzo, I believe, is out there too, one of the fellows that we have from A2. So I'm going to kind of talk about real brief history of the society itself, and then a brief history of the division, kind of where we stand in terms of the historical perspective of the society. The issues we've had, throw up a couple of lists of chairs and board members, a kind of a walkthrough nostalgia, if you will. Talk about the presentations and papers we've had to some degree, and a little bit of fun facts and observations. If you all have picked up or read the CSA News, the November issue, you'll see an article by Lowell Mosier, which pretty much outlines a good history of each of the divisions. I just looked at it this morning, so I'm going to duplicate a little bit of what he has here, so I'm going to go through this one pretty quick. But essentially, the society was organized in December of 1907 with the objective of increasing the knowledge of soils and crops, if you will, throughout, and how the knowledge and the science that's done by academia can impact society as a whole because of the research on soils and crops. Basically, the crop section was established in 1932. It also, in 1936, was identified as the Soil Science of America. It was kind of organized, and it served as that society, but as well as a division within ASA. And what, in terms of the readings that I went through, what interested me was that with the growth of societies, two things were clear. Basically, insufficient records were kept and mistakes and procedure were made. That was in one of the minutes that I read. But the membership still wanted to move forward and coordinate crops, soils, and associated land use issues and so on and so forth. In 1945, a committee was established kind of to organize the division, section, branch, structure that we have within the society. And then that was 1945, and in 1949, a committee was established to really study the divisions and the organization. I'll just point you to the last two bullets here. I think are important bullets that came out of the effort. And basically, even with restructuring the society, they wanted to make sure that there was a relationships between and coordination among professionals, the professionals were recognized, there was freedom of expression, and there was a voice in guiding the affairs of the society. I think those are important statements. And also to retain the flexibility, if you will, to accommodate new activities, new divisions, new thoughts, new ideas, new science as it proceeds. Taking a snapshot in 1955, this was at the 47th annual meeting of the society. Here was the set of divisions, the soil science divisions, the crop science divisions, and there was the first special program in land use and management. In 1955 to 57, there were a group of military agronomists that essentially put together a special program, land use and management, to derive some of the issues that we had on military installations in terms of erosion control, keeping grass in the training areas, how do we handle turf in parade grounds, and so on and so forth. So they arranged special programs, which were in the abstracts, directly with the ASA vice president, and had those in 55, 56, and 57. In 57, they also petitioned the society to establish a military land use and management division. And I guess, let's see, where's my mouse at? I guess you could say our founding fathers were J.L. Hosterman, Homer S. Thompson, and Alton E. Rabbit, and I'll talk a little bit more about them in a bit, but there were also 18 members that signed that petition. Over these years, they had 31 papers, 6, 14, and 11, I think those were the numbers. So as a result of this petition and part of the reorganization, basically the Land Use and Management Division, then titled XIV, or what would that be, 14, was established with a military land subdivision, with the founding members again being Hosterman from Fort McPherson, the Third Army, Homer Thompson, U.S. Air Force, and Alton Rabbit, who was an agronomist with the Navy Department of Bureau of Economics in D.C. And they kind of established it through the bylaws of rotating, since there was this military focus, rotating Air Force, Navy, and Army chairman, and the first chairman in 1959 was Thompson. In 1962, to go on a little bit more with the history, the board voted to make A2 its own division without a subdivision, land use and management, but it still kept the military focus. 1973-74, we had discussions of division breakfasts. I believe those lasted 4 years. And individual service sections, Army, Navy, and Air Force, papers were presented. And discussion of tourism installations. We've had many. I don't think we've ever had any officially through SA, but I know groups have gone out to a lot of installations that are co-located with the meetings of the society. In 1982, the Executive Committee really questioned this military emphasis. You can find in the notes. And then there was also, I'll talk more later about that, but in 1983, immediately afterwards, A2 was designated military land use and management. In 1993, we kind of examined the self-imposed division requirement that we rotate the chairs. And the motivation was really to get more participation into the division, into the land use issues. Because in 93, we only had 14 papers, which was an all-time low, except for the beginning years. But then the next year, we peaked with 65. I think it's because of the actions of our chair then. But then dropped again. So it's been an issue of participation. Increasing participation has been kind of steady throughout the history. In terms of the whole scheme of thing, we are indeed the, if I can find my mouse again, the second oldest division next to A1, with those special programs, military lands as subdivision, the naming, and you can see the timeline here of the other divisions. So we're celebrating our 49th year as an official division, and 52 years nominally if you look at the land special programs that were in the early years. Issues along the way. The SA as a whole had a concern about low numbers within the society, or low numbers of persons embarking on agronomy and in science careers. Another point, in 66, we reported to the board that we didn't have enough meeting space for our meetings. I mean, it's certainly adequate today, but at that time there was quite a bit of interest. We've also asked, as you see in 1966 and 67, if non-professionals could join. And that was an attempt to get some more of our land managers from the various services active in the society. Excuse me. Interesting note, the society entertained kind of a self-destruct division idea in 74, but the membership and the memberships of the different divisions said, well, we really don't want that. We like our divisions, and this is a source for us to present our papers. And A2 also recommended that the society take interest in civil service classification for agronomists, which was kind of interesting because it would affect a lot of the agencies rather than just the Army. But we push for that. 92 and 93, again with the thinking that we were too military focused in A2, which we were, there was some discussion in the boards about maybe retaining an A2 designation, but establishing military lands as a subdivision. essentially, our board rep at that time came back and said, well, we have a lot of agronomists attending here. They are sanctioned by their commanders to attend for professional education, and with military budgets being as they are, you probably won't get much attendance if you change the name and do not have the focus on the military. At one of the board meetings, it was said the president would come to some of the commanders, and lo and behold, that was indeed the answer. In other words, they felt that a land management agronomist from the military attending was important, and they provided funds for that. So, 1983 were renamed Land Use and Management, Military Land Use and Management. So it was kind of an interesting turnaround once the facts or the issues were identified. We asked for bulk mailing privileges. You can read a lot of those things. There was still discussion in 91 about boosting the membership. Should we have associate membership? Should we include the Guard, Coast Guard as the installation? They are part of the uniformed services. But there was a lot of, there was no clear solution in how we would do that. You'll see there in 97 and 98 continued discussions about the lack of membership. And one of the issues were there were new societies for military folks being formed. The National Military Fish and Wildlife Association, you started having the ITAM program in their workshops. One of the highlights was we had a special symposium in 2004 on military range contamination where we invited some outside speakers kind of in an attempt to generate some more interest and visibility. Another interesting thing, in 2006 we had a special issue with the International Society of Trained Vehicle Systems, which actually produced a nice journal of all the papers that were presented that dealing with the impacts of military vehicles on the lands, on the soils, on plants, and so on and so forth. So that was one of the highlights. And we elected our first non-DOD employee chair, Tim Dixon, last year. So we're facing a lot of the same issues that we've had throughout the history. Chairs along the way, I put kind of stars by those chairs that have moved on and become board representatives. I've also put, if you look, the little blocks, these are folks that filled in when someone either retired or declined even after being elected to serve. So they kind of came in and acted. Let me back up. You'll see some big names here. Vance Mays from AMC, Don Bandle, who really provide the funding for the ITAM program, Leo Labiak, and so on and so forth. It's really interesting, kind of a walk down memory or lane, as I say, if you can recognize some of these names. There's our own Tony Palazzo in the back there in 91 as the chair. But, well, let me back up one more time. We did hold true that Army, Navy, Air Force, in terms of that rotation. Followed it pretty precisely as the military has wanted to do. Up until 96, when Bill Pittman became the chair. Richard Price was a chair in 88, and I didn't put acting there because it was interesting. Bob Shaw was actually elected, but then he chose to resign, so Richard actually stepped in and had a good program that year. And as I say, Timothy Dixon from academia. as the first non-DOD civilian. Board representatives, again, highlighted the actings and those folks who have served more than once. Walter Briggs, Dr. Ballback. Fellows along the way. Our first fellow was Klitz, Birkenneth Klitz. Now, I could not find, even though it's in the journals, although, and I went through a lot of the journals, exactly when he was became a fellow, but he was served as our board rep in 61 and 63 from the Corps of Engineers, and there's limited information, further information. Dick Lee in 94 and Tony Palazzo in 98. And you can see how they've served the A2 organization. Excuse me, presentations and papers along the way. Started out with six, high of 65, and here's the numbers of papers we've had throughout the years. I'm missing data from 65 and 2001 because they weren't in the ACES library at the University of Illinois. They'd evidently been pilfered, so and I couldn't come up with them, but I will. The intent is to write a paper, and we'll have that information in the paper. Kind of some fun facts. 49, the SA had a committee, Use of Agronomists in Times of a National Emergency. That's an interesting title. Alton E. Rabbit, he was actually an agronomist from the National Capital Parks, moved to the Bureau of Aeronautics during World War II to look at turf issues on Navy airfields. But after that, he returned to the Park Service and gave a paper in an A2 division in 67. And near and dear to my heart, he was a member of the United States Golf Association Green Section and took care of our golf courses. 61, registration fee for the conference, $4. A room in St. Louis at the Sheraton Hilton, $7.50 per night. Not too bad. But the median salary for an agronomist soil scientist, $8,000 a year. So we weren't getting paid a lot, so those fees were probably in line. One of the interesting things, at least for me, the SA publication, they reprinted the soil surveys and land use planning, one of their things, and why it struck me, it was one of the books that I used quite often in my education. This is my own 1966 version, and they talked about reprinting it. It's kind of interesting, because I remember that. I used it a lot. We made a commitment in A2 to do a history in 77, never followed through. Board representative Irvin Bedker is variously known throughout the years as Edwin, Irvin, and Irvin. At one time we discussed locating the briefcase that contained the bylaws and records of the past business meeting. And the minutes that we had says the search continues. I don't know if we ever found that briefcase where all of our records were kept. Numbers of presentations since 1955, minus those years, 1,184. Low years were in the early years, of course. High years, we've got 65, Seattle. Dick Lee was the chair. Mr. Anderson here in Indianapolis. And Martin Elin from USERA, from the Army in Europe, 40 was in the high. Long titles. I'm not going to read those, but issues with the conflicts land management, well, I guess I am going to read one of them. But you can see we've had some pretty long titles, but some pretty short ones. Inverted emulsions, I don't know what that was about. Mowing management, why landscape? Most papers as first author, and these are folks who've had over 20. That's Dr. Ballback, Dr. Price, Tony, Dick Lee, and coming up, interestingly enough, right behind those in the teens, I noticed Tony Wright's name is up there with about 14 or 15, and he's back with us this year. Observation, comments, and questions. First of all, what a boring presentation with no pictures. As I said earlier, near and dear to my heart, this is a picture that the only one I could find is Alton E. Rabbit. He attended the retirement of the USGA Green Section Executive. So here is one of our founders of the 18th Division right there attending retirement. And that's all I have. I don't know if I can answer your question. I went through quite a bit. I went through every section of minutes since 1950 to today in terms of the Agronomy Journal and a lot of things. My mind is really mush in terms of it, but any questions would be appreciated. Okay, let me give you a warning. Since this is the 100th year, I thought that I would take kind of a historical record. So the presenters that follow through the week, at some point in time, I'm going to flash a picture and take your picture while you're presenting. So be warned. And perhaps in the little history that Tony and Hal thought to write, based upon this, we'll put your pictures in there. I hope you dress nicely for your presentation. Thank you.